This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 30th, episode 1770, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Jamie, we're back.
Yay. Welcome back. Well, we were here together on Monday, but that somebody took over the whole show.
So, I know. It did feel like Monday was an exception.
I did.
Because you and I didn't get to talk. Matter of fact, we got yelled at before the show because Jamie and I were just jib-jabbering away about everything, and because we haven't talked in a week, and Jennifer had to scold us and smack her fingers and tell us get back to work.
Yes.
Guys, we have a show to do.
You know what was crazy? We were talking about before the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about my conference later on, but we're talking about before the show that coming up in November, we'll be heading into our 8th year.
That's insane.
And what brought that up is I posted one of those Facebook memories I just got was a picture of me in the studio in Lexington 7 years ago. And we determined it was about the same week that you came after we hired you to Lexington. It's about
that
time.
You hired me, I think, this month in 2010. And because Chad and I were talking about it last night, we got married in the spring of 2010, moved into this house, and then started the show. Oh, no, I started the show before we moved into this house.
I got asked on a panel. I did a panel over the weekend for networking, and they asked how I found my hosts. And, of course, a lot of my podcasting friends know your story about how we made you come live with us for a week. So they asked me to tell that story again. Of course, everybody's always amazed that that even happened. But I said, you don't understand horse people. That anybody that's a horse person would go live with anybody for a week to go to Lexington. The only reason she did it is we were in Lexington.
You know what? The only reason I did it was because, like, you said I had to. Again, there's a lot of crap that happened at the beginning where now I would laugh in your face. Like, sing this song. Oh, it's about sheath cleaning. It's hilarious. And I thought, well, that's funny. And he's my boss and he's telling me to do something. Now, if you were to say, I need you to do this, I would go, you can go and take yourself somewhere.
But look at all the entertainment that has brought thousands and thousands of people over the years that cheats.
I did. I cannot believe. And I went to your house and I am massively allergic to long-haired cats.
Cat you've ever seen.
And this cat, I walk in your house and like I needed a miner's cap to get through the front door to my bedroom because there was so much hair that you didn't clean your house. It's just that's what happens when you have a long-haired cat.
I'm actually
feeling a hair in the back of my throat right now as I'm talking about it. And so I lay down on the bed and I'm trying to be polite because I'm so allergic to cats. And so I'm laying in bed and I realize that there's something on my pillow and it is your long-haired cat, not only just in my room or on my bed, he's on my pillow. And he's kind of half on my face at one point when I woke up and I was like, oh, and you know what? I'm still here.
You did go to stay with your friends for a couple nights. So there was that.
Oh, God. I did. I was like, I can't breathe. I'm like, good morning. How are you?
We had fun at the Kentucky Horse Park, though. We did have fun running around the city. As soon as she was out of the house, she was having a good time.
I was fine. That was great. No, it worked.
That just led to what our show was going to be all about for the next 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're still together. And you're still that girl. Nothing's changed in 8 years.
It's just you started it. You started that girl stuff. all your fault.
Yeah, this whole thing, pretty much.
I'm actually feeling a little stuffed up now, just even talking about the beast of a cat.
She's never come to stay with us since, by the way, people. We don't have the cat anymore. You're safe now.
You haven't invited me.
That's it. Yeah, we haven't invited her back either. We stayed at your house. We have done that. Anyway, that's we are true. So off topic here, but it did bring back memories posting that picture today and of how long we've actually been doing this show and how time flies and how much changes and doesn't change all at the same time. Jennifer, what are we going to talk about today other than reminiscing about the past?
Other than reminiscing about the past, coming up on today's horselovers.com Wednesday edition, Charles Walker from U.S. Equestrian, you may know it as the USEF or the ASHA, he's going to stop by and tell us about the oldest discipline on the books that you've never heard of, the parade horse. Who knew? And then mid-show, Glenn is going to be recounting his Anaheim podcast conference adventures at breakneck speed. And then in the horse health segment, Dr. Johnson is going to explain grading lameness. And as the grand finale, Chapter 5 of the Opium Equation by Lisa Weiss Hockey. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I actually had to go back and listen to Wednesday's show from last week so I would know what was going on when you read Chapter 5 because I wasn't here. So I went
back.
Well,
for those who don't know, yet every Wednesday in the last 15 minutes of the show, we read the book.
Yeah, so if you missed it, I've been getting emails. If you missed a chapter, well, we'll go over that later on in the show, but we're going to help you out. We're going to make that a little bit easier. But I did go back and listen on the plane. It was like, I got to know what's going on.
Glenn, you could go buy the damn book and just read it.
No, but I like you reading it, too. Not so good at reading books. I'm really good at listening to them. Daily Winnie time. Yesterday on the show with Tara on the Western episode, we talked about Chance Ward and his son who did that video of them rescuing that stallion through the gate there. Remember, it's been seen now by 8.9 million views. I just saw it on ABC's website. Excuse me. So it's everywhere. Well, Mashable caught up with the Wards and had a little chat with them. And I love the quote here that he did. And that's why they're getting my Daily Winnie. He says, this is what we do. We help livestock. We try to help people. Ward wrote on his Facebook post, there's a lot of sad out of this storm, but I look at the positive. I've helped in numerous floods with livestock. We were able to swim in and save four other horses today. One of the greatest feelings in the world is having my best partner by my side, my 17-year-old son. If you look, you can see us talking as this is no big deal. There's a lot of great cowboys in this country, plenty that are willing to do the same as us. And many that have been doing the same down in Texas. So they are definitely, you know, there's a lot of people going in right now, and the Cajun Navy, all the boaters out of Louisiana who were helped during Katrina, that they call the Louisiana Navy and the Texas Navy. Those are all the independent boaters, and the rescue organizations did ask for them to come in, and they came in by the thousands. So what an amazing story.
I'm so sorry to all of you. Being from Georgia, my brother lost everything in the last hurricane, and I did the animal rescue in Katrina. It's like PTSD listening to talk about hurricanes. And I'm just, my heart breaks for everybody that's dealing with it. If you do, by the way, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but if you go to google.com, they will match your donation dollar for dollar. So I donated on Google this morning and I plan on donating blood later today. So you have to do whatever you can, you know, to help. But this guy's amazing.
And one thing I will say, and this comes from my Red Cross experience, that I saw an article yesterday. Do not try and donate stuff. They need money. They don't need stuff. And I saw a warehouse filled with teddy bears, and that's nice and all, but they have nothing to do with the teddy bears. They need to
stay places and have blood transfusions.
Stuff, the way the Red Cross does it, all of that kind of stuff has to be sanitized. So they can't really use it. So that's why they're asking for money. They buy the things they need, you know, like water and clothing and stuff like that, bedding, and all of that is bought. So yeah, it can be donated later and it will be donated later and given out, but it, you know, they need money. That's what it comes down to. They just need money. to make this happen. And I know that sounds, you want to do something other than money, but is it the best thing you can do? And
I find places that you can double your money, like Google right now.
And Facebook was having a thing yesterday, I noticed. And we're going to go over a couple of the, right after your Daily Weenie, we'll go over a couple other places that you can donate directly to the horses. So I'll go over that. Blood Horse had them listed. So I'll go over that right after your Daily Weenie.
I just posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. So go to Facebook and look at these pictures. Richland Park horse trials happened this past weekend. And there's a rider named Ellie Choate. And Ellie Choate was on her horse, right? This needed to be celebrated. She's in the junior training division. And she is an Irish sport horse gelding named Patrick. They were having a lovely round. And Ellie says, we're having a fabulous warm-up and a great round until that point. He got a bit deep to the third fence in Oxer, so I clucked twice to him for a little encouragement. Well, I guess the second cluck was offensive. And on landing, he surged forward in a stride and then threw in the first massive twisted buck. I probably could have recovered from that, as he bucks all the time. But after that, he threw his head straight down. So it looked like I was going to become a lawn ornament, but I kept my rein short, and I believe that I caught him in the mouth enough. Sorry, Patty. And he immediately threw his head straight back up and caught me before I could go flying. And you can look at the photographs from Barbara Jean Martin, the show photographer. He throws her up on his neck. Her heels are like under his chin. She is sitting at one point,
on the top of his neck,
on the top of his neck, right behind his head. Yeah. I mean, and you can see it's on Eventing Nation.
That's not where you're supposed to be.
No, he's not good. So Eventing Nation has the picture by picture thing, and she ends up going from the back all the way to the top of the neck, and then she somehow finagles her way back into the tack and jumps the next jump with no stirrups. And then Eventing Nation, their comment to this is what got me. Between this and Leslie Wiley's stirrupless leg of the Mongol Derby, we have little excuse to skip No Stirrup November ever again.
Well, and we have to add to it No Bridle December, and I'm going to give that to Laura Cheshire, who's a jockey out of Australia.
And that was amazing.
Yeah, this video has gone viral too. The one of her riding the entire race without the bridle had come off.
Oh my God. She did not panic. I mean, it's like, okay, you can panic or you can just ride it out. I mean, he's going to stay with third. Like, I was thinking, what would I do? And she just was so chill about it. It was amazing. So that's another one. I kind of thought we'd already covered that, but I guess not. So
no,
yeah,
I didn't.
Horse Nation did an article on that one. It was incredible.
It was crazy. What a crazy ride. Maybe we can get her on. That'd be fun to talk to her about that. I did mention, well, Jennifer gets our first guest lined up.
Get her on, by the way. Put that on the list for Denise.
Yeah.
To book.
Now, as far as emergency response, we mentioned yesterday the United States Equestrian Federation Equine Disaster Relief Fund is available, and there's an article on Blood Horse about all of these places. The American Association of Equine Practitioners has a foundation for equine disaster relief. The Professional Association of Therapeutic Riding Horsemanship has an International Disaster Relief Fund. That's a PATH people we've had on the show. And additionally, Houston Mayor has established the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. So there's all of those funds that are now available to donate that will go to horses and other animals. And the Blood Horse, if you go to bloodhorse.com, you'll see that article there, and they list all the contact information. So I wanted to give you that. Sam Houston Racetrack has stepped up. They are not doing racing right now, and they were not flooded, so they are housing 100 horses. They are letting you come in free. You have to provide your own stuff, but you can come in and use the stables for free. And wow. You can contact Sam Houston. You just call them and bring your horses. There's no questions. So if you need a place to go with horses, that's a place to do it. And I know we have a lot of listeners. We've heard from some. Jamie, you've gotten the emails too, that are down in that way. They say they're the roads are clear to the racetrack. There's no flooding along the way, so the feeder roads are clear. The Gillespie County Fairgrounds, which was supposed to have live racing this weekend near its track in Fredericksburg in Kentucky or in Texas, will not be racing. They're actually moving their races to San Antonio, 70 miles away. There was no damage done to the facility, but the track is kind of wet, so they're moving their races there. Also, another
call that sloppy, Glenn. They call that sloppy.
There's a lot of terrifying things about this. Obviously, flooding and drowning and getting caught in it, your cars and alligators everywhere. But for those of us that live in the South, this might be the creepiest, most terrifying story of them all. And that is that the fire ants have.
Hold on. Let me give everybody a preface. Yes. If you're eating, finish it up. If you're trying to relax and sleep, skip this part. You will have nightmares.
Okay. So anybody that lives in the South is going to appreciate that. Anybody that's not experienced the South probably will not appreciate how terrifying this is to all of us. So fire ants, unfortunately, do not drown very well. And they also are kind of a stick-to-itive group. They get together and they hang out. And anybody that's seen the fire ant mound, we had one in our backfield the other day that was about 2 to 3 feet tall, Jamie. It is freaking nuts. And anybody that has dealt with fire ants knows that it's hard to get rid of them. You get the little powdery stuff and you put it over their fire ant house and their little mound, and then they move their mound 2 feet away. It's crazy. They're like impossible to kill, these things. So they decided to get together.
So when you're having a hurricane, you're like, oh, well, the bad news is we have a hurricane. Good news is they're all going to die.
No. Instead, they get together in what they mesh together in these large groups. And they all attach to each other. And the ants mesh themselves together so tightly, they trap air in the middle, which forces the whole thing to rise to the top of the water. The ants on the bottom are knitted so tightly that water can't get through. Now, this is Mother Nature at its finest here. So what they have formed literally is a solid bubble that floats. The raft mutates as it goes along, with ants traveling across the top and joining the stationary layer on the bottom. The fire ants can survive in these structures for weeks or even longer, even though they're constantly seeking new dry land to colonize as they float. For this, and this is large. Some of these are 3 to 4 feet or 5 feet across, these huge mounds of ants floating across the water. By the way, for that reason, the boaters that are going in, they advise them to be very careful, because as soon as the ants feel something solid, they surge onto that solid thing, and they can climb onto the boat very quickly.
They can climb. They if you like hit them with your oar, it's like, yep, they all come up your oar. This is according to, by the way, this is not like some weird thing that we're making up here. This is according to a publication by Texas A&M.
Yes.
This is not like you and think, oh, this must be like Africanized.
If you freak yourself out, there are a lot of pictures coming out of the last couple of days of these fire ant colonies floating.
Nope. Don't want to freak myself out.
And this is terrifying for us, because if you've been bit by fire ants, you're going to appreciate how terrifying this is. Now, you don't usually die, they say, unless, of course, there's a lot of them like this that get you.
Like Tracker Jackers in the movie The Hunger Games.
Isn't that the first thing you thought of?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so there, that's something to just make you all happy today.
That's amazing. welcome to the world. Let's go back to talking about the Mongol Derby.
Yeah. If you missed that episode, by the way, on Monday, you need to go back to listen to it.
Did she sound older to you? Like more grown up?
She did. I wanted to talk to you about that on the air because, wow, you know, our little wild Leslie just didn't seem like the little wild Leslie anymore.
It was nice, but I don't know, maybe she was tired. What, Jennifer, what's your thought?
Oh, I don't think she's
there. Oh, I just,
yeah,
I'm
I
sorry.
Heard
I
something thought she's too. I don't know what that was.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know.
Jennifer, you're with us.
Hi.
Are you supposed to be with us?
Okay. Yes. All right. I thought I'd join the fun.
Okay, you couldn't get the guest.
No, it looks like he must have had a emergency meeting pop up or something. He was not available.
Okay.
An emergency parade started and he had to hurry out and get dressed.
Parade out the door.
To go to the parade. He's like sitting there at his desk and he's like, oh my God, there's a parade coming.
Well, people, it looks like you get us for the whole show, whether you like it or not. So if you don't like us, tune out now.
On his chest and like do. All of a sudden his like outfit changed. Maybe he had to run into like a phone booth or something. Like quick change. He comes out, he's in his parade finest, and he goes and jumps on his horse, which also is now standing there waiting for parade. And he goes off, gallop, carry on, we must save the parade. And he goes on and he's in the parade now. Because you know what happens when people don't show up on my show when they're supposed to be on my show?
Yeah, I know what happens. This is what happens.
This is what happens.
Let's finish talking about Leslie. So,
keep it coming. I'll keep going, Charles Walker. I don't have a problem. I don't know where you are, but I don't know. We're going to find that parade. Everybody look out your window if you work in the city and see if you see Charles Walker going in a parade.
Well, we determined before the show, there's probably 10 people that do parade classes. So now we've pissed off all 10.
Well, it's not a big listening audience, so we're okay. We only lost 10 listeners.
I don't think we're going to be doing a parade class show anytime soon, so I think we're all right. Yeah.
If there is actually something wrong, I offer my condolences, and I'm sorry.
Apologize right now. We're going to apologize in advance for pissing the whole parade community off. And I don't think this is the kind of parade, Jennifer, is it, that is in parades, like the Rose Bowl, right? This is not that kind of parade.
I don't know. That's why I want to talk to Charles.
So it's a railbird parade. Even better.
It's kind of like a hunter class with clothing, I think. And higher stepping. Anyway, so back to...
As opposed to the naked hunter classes, it's a hunter class with clothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. You know, I think I would go to shows that had naked hunter classes, to be honest. That might actually make hunter classes more interesting, or not.
Hey, did you see, speaking of naked, yesterday I was stuck on an airplane. And
you were naked?
Not naked.
Oh, okay.
But I was stuck in an airplane, and we're in the tube, and there's like, folks, we have something wrong with the plane, and in 20 minutes we'll be leaving. 20 minutes. 20 minutes later.
And you know that's a lie.
20 minutes. And Chad's like, we're going to be here a while. And so 2.5 hours we're in the tube. Whoa. On the ground. Whoa. It was unbelievable. So I post on Facebook. I'm like, hey, you guys, I wrote this. I said, please, I am stuck in a plane that is broken and can't take off and they won't let us out.
Okay. You are not allowed to talk about the one picture that was posted on your thing.
Which one?
No, you know which one and you're not allowed to talk about it.
Please entertain Chad and I by posting the funniest and most random gifts in the comments. And people, do you know how many comments are on my page right now? Like 165. There are 165 comments. Because once you find one random weird gift, then you have to find 10. And then you're trying to up yourself and it becomes entertainment for yourself, not just me and my husband who are laughing. But the one that I found is my favorite. The walking unicorn. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. No, you're not allowed to talk about that.
That's the greatest gift I've ever seen.
You can go to ever. Jamie's page and look at that, but you're not allowed to talk about it. It's a Fiji show. Fiji. Back to Leslie. Let's get back to Leslie now, Jamie. Focus. So what did you think? After hearing her stories and reading her stories, what'd you think?
I was just so impressed with her answers. So proud of her.
And her answers were so mature, and I wasn't expecting that.
I know, that's what I'm saying. She was just so grown up, and she really actually took this experience and made it even more impactful on her own self, you know, where like you could go, oh, it was so hard and I drank my wine bottle, you know, been her funny self. Or like what she did was she really embraced all of it. You know what I mean?
Introspection was not a word we'd ever used with Leslie before, if that's actually a word.
Exactly.
But wow, I was impressed too. I was like, wow, this is our girl. And it was like she was our girl and she was all grown up. Like she's heading off to college now. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So she'll never be back again. You know that, right? Because now she's all mature. She's not going to want to come back to this show.
No, I know. She's going to move on to, like, I don't know. Like, you've got some sort of fancier podcast you know about, right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll just send her on to one of the important shows.
She's going to start being on the dressage show.
Dr. Drew was there, by the way, speaking of shows. Do you like Dr. Drew?
I do. Hey, let's move.
How did you all of a sudden get back to the conference?
I don't know, because I've been talking about celebrities, and Leslie's now a celebrity, and then I thought of Dr. Drew. I don't know how that went there.
We'll get to Dr. Drew in a little bit, Glenn. Right now, let's talk about Horse Lovers. Oh, my gosh. Is this going to cost me money again this hour, or do you have one to play?
I do not have one to play, so we have to go over to horselovers.com and Google.
Did you see the package I got in the mail?
Yes. What was in the package?
Oh, my gosh. Ariat had the deal of the day was... or maybe the flash sale was Ariat boots, and they didn't have all the sizes and everything like that. But I found my size in Fat Babies, and I love my little Fat Babies that I had before, but they, you know, as to what happens with your Ariat boots is you go somewhere where people aren't horse people, and you realize the smell of urine coming up from your boots is so strong. So I was like, I need another pair. Like, I need a non-horsey pair because they're so cute and comfortable and they're very lightweight.
I have my non-horsey sneakers and my non-horsey shoes. And then the other day, my sneakers made it to the barn. And
always. And Chad's like, those weren't supposed to be barn shoes. I get that all the time. So I'm not supposed to walk to the back with my new Ariat's on. So I got a new pair of Fat Babies. And then they had my half chap, which I'm going to eventually need more half chaps. I mean, it's the kind I like. And they had them on sale. So the Fat Babies are like $109, typically $100. I got them for $38.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Exactly. I had to get them. And then Chad.
Yeah, that's like a requirement at that point.
No, I got Chad $250 boots for like $69.
See, you were a smart wife. You got your husband boots. So about your boots.
If you're going to get yourself something, buy them something that they need too. Because then he's like, oh, well, you had to. Otherwise, if it was just all for me, he'd have been like, come on.
I mean, really? Even though your $30 boots now cost $100 because you had to buy him $70 boots.
I know. Well, then I had to get the half chaps too, because the half chaps are like $150. And all of a sudden they were marked down to like $49. I mean, it was a crazy deal. I had to do it.
Well, now I got the breeches today to go with your half chaps and your boots, because they have a breeches sale right now on their deal. I don't know. The deals all run together. Their flash sale right now, it only lasts another 2 hours, but don't worry. Go there. There'll be another one posted. But this is breeches. Tough Rider. They have kids Tough Rider jodhpurs for $21. They have the men's patrol patch breeches that all the men like to wear for $48. They have a whole bunch of kids. They have the low-rise women's for $23. I don't know how they stay in business, to be honest. And then they have the
pull-on breeches, which I love. $12.
The cotton pull-ons are $24 in the Tough Rider ladies' knee patch. I don't get it. But anyway, head on over there, because there's like five pages of breeches on there right now in the flash sale. I didn't even go to the deal of the day to see what that was. Let's see here. Let's see what else we got going on. Oh, we have the Equicentral 600 Denier Turnout Blanket, the 300 gram. This is the winter weight, $49.
What?
They have size 75 and 84. Now, 84 is large, but with all the warm bloods, they take 84. But a lot of people have 75, and they have them left for $49. It's 600 denier, 70 denier nylon lining, all the gussets and all that stuff, the D-rings and the standard tail flap and everything.
Zeus is a 75, and Duke is an 84. No!
$49 bucks. But you don't need 300 gram. That would kind of kill your horses out in...
I'm going to live in Oklahoma someday, and I clip my horses.
They have a Treadstone Plain Race Snaffle Bridle. Okay, so this is your Plain Race Snaffle Bridle from Treadstone in cob, horse, and pony for $25. Now, this is a great schooling bridle, by the way. That would be a good schooling bridle. Probably not so much a show bridle, but a good schooling bridle that you don't care if you trash for $25. There you go. right now at the flash sale going on at horselovers.com. Head on.
Did they actually want us to just online shop verbally for their commercials, or did they actually want like a fluffy, well-written thought out?
They wanted a fluffy, well-written commercial until they saw saw their sales go up when we just ramble. So then they're very happy with our commercials. I heard from them the other day and they're like, "You guys talk about nothing but what goes on in the website, and apparently it's working." So, and besides, what better than us talking about what's going on at the website? I mean, that's what really counts, right?
Oh my gosh, this just I can't host Wednesdays anymore. It just costs me more than I make through hosting
and
this
show. And I
swear,
Wednesday's the day they do the most business, probably, because all our listeners are going, "Wow, a $25 bridal?" Yeah. Now, you know, again, it's not the best quality bridal in the world, but if you're looking for one to use at home, $25, you buy five of them, and you just use them till they're dead.
$49.99 for a 600D blanket? That's crazy.
That is pretty crazy. And again, it's not Rambo quality, but if you're spending $50, you can use it for a while, or use it on the transient horses or whatever, you know, use it on your horse till it dies. That's the nice thing about
it. It looks really, actually really nice.
That brand is pretty good. You know, I wouldn't say it's horseware quality, but it's pretty good. It is pretty good.
I need a Cobb bridle for Zeus. Dang it!
Oh, you're getting trouble now because Jennifer has now gotten a hold of the parade guy.
Uh-oh.
See, this is what happens to you. You go all crazy and go all off, and then the guest actually shows up. Hopefully he won't listen to the beginning of the show.
I promise he hasn't listened to this show, so keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, everybody shh. That's not mentioned. But now we are going to go. And by the way, thanks to horselovers.com. They've been a great supporters of ours for so long, and we really appreciate them. Well, we wanted to, you know, we've been doing a lot yesterday. We did a lot of serious coverage of what's happening in Texas, and we heard from a couple listeners, and one very specifically that said they had been evacuated and she couldn't get to sleep. She was worrying about everything, her house and her husband and her pets, and she couldn't get to sleep, and she turned on horses in the morning, and amazingly, Jamie, we put her right to sleep. So she thanked us for being so helpful and for basically letting her relax and fall asleep. And we didn't know. And I thought I'd sent you that email, but if I haven't, I will. We didn't know we were meant to be a sleep podcast, but whatever we can do to help.
My friend Sean, she listens to us when she goes to bed. She's like, "I only catch like the first 10 minutes of your show because it just knocks me out."
So, you know, they're one of the most famous podcasts in the world is a sleep podcast where he puts people to sleep, and he has like millions of listeners. We didn't know if we'd advertised ourselves as that, we would be more popular today.
Good night, everybody. We're like 30 minutes in. You're not listening.
Yeah, you're not listening anymore. Hopefully you'll wake up for the end of the show and listen to the fifth chapter of the book. But right now we have Charles on the line. He is with U.S. Equestrian, Charles Walker. And I always have a mission for our guest bookers to find topics that we haven't covered in the last 1,800 episodes of the last 8 years. And they found one today. And that is parade classes at shows. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. How are you?
Just Charles, when we think we've talked about everything on this show, and we've had almost 6,000 guests, you've come up with something new here that we haven't talked about before. So tell us, what are parade classes?
The parade classes were developed from horses actually being in the parade, the most famous being the Rose Bowl Parade. And they are normally American Saddlebred or Morgan horses, Western influence, a lot of Spanish influence, silver saddles and bridles, lots of ribbons in their mane and tail. And they go a very high kind of marching trot. The Rose Parade, you undoubtedly have seen parade horses.
I own a Hackney, too, so I get that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm American Saddlebred and Hackney, so I get that. But the parade horses, the class was developed to give the ultimate parade horse a venue for showing. And they show at two gates, a walk, which should be slow but very animated, and then a parade gate, which is a slow trot. It should not be a posting trot, but a very smart, very animated trot. And manners are paramount with this class. The horse,
as they would be in a parade, as you're about to kill children, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah, you want the horse to stop and stand quietly. So yes, we keep the children safe. And it's a really colorful class, and really something that the audiences really appreciate.
Are you supposed to wear specific costumes, or is there a specific costume or any costume?
Well, it's Western, and so they like a lot of kind of dressed up Western, if you will. A lot of fringe, a lot of color, and then
bling,
you know, something that compliments. Yes.
Lots of bling too,
bling,
right?
Lots of bling.
Oh, bling! Yes, absolutely, lots of bling. Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's to show off. It's parade. It's lots of bling.
Now, is this only at breed shows, or where do these classes exist?
Well, actually, it's a relatively old class, but it kind of died off for quite a while, and it's making a comeback now. At Morgan shows and at Saddlebred shows. And we do have a national championship for parade horses, and that's at the American Royal in Kansas City. And that will be coming up in November.
And are these classes, it's basically a rail class, right? So you're trying to look fancy. You're also trying to be under total control, because
how is it judged? Like, what are you trying to accomplish?
I guess that's what I was trying to get to. Yeah.
How do we pick a winner?
Well, performance is obviously, you're looking for a horse that's bright, colorful, with lots of flash and lots of motion, but again, very controlled motion. And manners are obviously very paramount in this, because they kind of have to be when they're in the parades.
So is this like during the class, the judge is in the middle and there's people on the rail with their parade horses looking beautiful, and they're like setting off fireworks to see if they're going to spook, or like, you know, trying to
we throw cotton with, like, candy at them, candy corn,
children everywhere.
Are there balloon vendors walking along the side with their balloon racks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even.
Yeah, they very well could be, but no, we're not setting off fireworks or anything like that.
There's an idea, though.
The horse would come in. Oh, well, it is. No kidding. The horse will come in the ring at a parade trot. Then they'll do a walk, halt on the rail, and then reverse and repeat that same series of gates. And the judge, again, is looking for a horse that's flashy and controlled, and shows a lot of manners, because, again, that's what you want in a parade.
I like our idea better, actually, Charles. I think you could bring more spectators if we bring in the little carts with the balloon guys screaming out. We have some popcorn being thrown. We have vendors.
Make it a contest. I mean, this is like spectator world. Like, how can we try to spook the parade horse? Go.
Yeah, there we go. That would be
exciting. Charles is not liking our ideas.
No, he's wishing he didn't.
It's kind of funny, though.
Currently, go ahead.
I was going to say, my Hackney, I have a driving Hackney pony. If we did that, I'd be in the next county. He would not be that parade friendly. I'd be gone.
So. That's the ironic part of this whole thing, is he actually has a pony that could do these classes, but would never, because he would get kicked out of the show.
I'd be kicked out. That's funny. Is this becoming more popular?
It is. Like I said, it kind of diminished. We used to have the class at our world championships, which actually for American Saddlebreds, which just finished last week at Kentucky State Fair. And they dropped off, maybe 20 years ago or so. And then about the last 5 or 6 years, they really started to come back and to make a big. And
Bye.
national championship in Kansas City. The last couple years, actually, it's been won by a spotted saddlebred named Nodia Comaneci. And
that's a great name.
Isn't that good?
Nadia!
Nadia!
She's undefeated. Yeah, Nadia. And she's undefeated in the last 2 years in parade classes. She's pretty special.
Where can people find out more, Charles? What's the website?
Yeah, you can check out our website, actually, which is www.usef.org. We are, USEF is the governing body of equestrian sport in the U.S. We license between 2,500 and 2,700 horse shows a year, covering 29 breeds and disciplines. Probably we are picking the Olympic equestrian performers and then keeping the team together and supporting the team from the time they're selected all the way through the Olympics. That's probably what most people would recognize with us.
Very good. Well, thank you, Charles. We really appreciate you being on the show. It was a lot of fun to learn about something new.
Yes, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Okay.
Take care.
No, he's never coming back on again.
He's never coming back. We have that influence on guests. I think our ideas were great, though. I think that, wouldn't you go watch a class like that?
I'd participate. How can I spook the source?
Yeah,
how can I figure one out?
Yeah, Thor would be a great one for that. He'd be in there just trooping around.
Oh my gosh, he'd actually probably be really good at that because he actually just doesn't care about anybody else. He's like,
I want to talk about some pictures a little later on that you posted about, and I did apparently you talked about it last week, but I didn't hear about your bruising and your injuries. But I want to talk about that, plus why you were out in Oklahoma. But first, I haven't had a chance to talk about the conference last week. Everybody here is podcast listeners and likes.
Yeah, how
podcasts.
Did it go? I've been meaning to ask you about it because we didn't talk about it on
Jennifer
Monday, obviously. Yeah.
So Jennifer's like, get to work.
That darn Leslie Wiley. What did you see? What's going on? What's the new podcast? Debbie talked a little bit about stuff on Friday after because
well, she actually
you overslept.
Went to some sessions.
Yeah. So. Because you overslept. You were supposed to be on the if you remember last Friday. Yeah.
Yes.
And then so we had Debbie on to actually give us some real conversation. So what was your take on it?
It was different. It was a very different conference than last time, in that it was very corporate. It was very much your world, your old world coming into podcasting. Radio is taking a serious look at podcasting. What I did learn, and I did talk to a couple of the radio executives, I thought, well, look, you know, everybody in the independent podcasting world like us, we're considered independents. We don't have tens of millions of dollars funding us. We did this from bootstraps with no money, right? And still pretty much have no money. But, you know, we did it from the start and from nothing. And then now we have these large corporations, the NPRs, the CBSs, the networks, the big radio networks, the big radio stations, and the big radio celebrities. Dr. Drew was there, as I said, and he won an award. We have them coming into the space. And so this conference was very different than the artsy-fartsy independent conference it was at the beginning when I first went years ago. So I talked to a couple of the radio guys, and what's happening in radio, and this is probably no surprise to you, is that revenues are down. Advertisers are looking at other ways to reach their audience, and they're really wanting on demand. They want to know that their voice is being heard. And in radio, you're never quite sure who's tuning in at what time, right? They're in and out, they're transient. It's always been a problem with radio. It's the reason that in radio, you guys had to reset your names and who you were and the time and all that stuff every 10 minutes. Is because I heard a good analogy. One of the radio guys said, doing radio is like talking to people in the hallway at the high school. They're just going by, and then they're coming back by, and then they're going by again, and you constantly have to be repeating yourself. Whereas podcast,
he's like, here comes somebody. Hi, it's 83 degrees right now. It's Wednesday morning. Thank you for coming by, and my name is Jamie. Okay, bye. All right, welcome, everybody. It's 83 degrees. The time is 6:45 in the morning. It is sunny outside, and here's Pink.
Exactly. That's exactly the analogy. I thought it was a good analogy, actually. Whereas we have them pretty much for as long as they stay, till they fall asleep. at the beginning of the show. Exactly. We got them till they fall asleep. But, you know, theoretically, they might listen to the end. And we don't have to keep repeating who we are because they're with us in the first place. And advertisers are starting to learn that. It's not, you know, this is just the beginning. Really, we are still at just the beginning of podcasting, even though we've been doing it here for almost 10 years. We're at the beginning. And I think that's the other thing I learned. I sat in on all the ratings sessions. Those are the ones I did sit in on. Nielsen is now involved. All the names you would recognize from when you were working in radio are now taking a look at the podcasting space and starting to quantify the podcasting space. And what we've learned is that the podcasting numbers are going up. They are now estimating that about 60% of people have at least heard of a podcast. They're still saying it's between 40 and 45% that have actually listened to one. And part of that's thanks to NPR and the Serial podcast, which had 100 million downloads. So so that's what's happening, is that the big boys are now starting to look at podcasting as a way of shoring up their revenue. Putting a lot of them are making their radio guys and women do podcasting. So as a sideline, in addition to their regular show, they're now doing podcasts as a way to put advertising in and revenue in. I know this is very inside baseball, but you guys kind of like that. I always get feedback. So that's the one thing I saw. The other thing, the stats are definitely going up. Podcasting is becoming more popular. Even now, 1% of people listen to podcasts on their smart speakers in their home. They're Alexas. By the way, I just woke a bunch of them up, and I'm sorry. But they listen to them on that kind of smart speaker, their Googles and their Alexa speakers. They expect that to be increasing. And the other huge increase is coming from equipped cars. There's a lot of new cars coming out now that are going to have the iTunes podcast button right on it. So you'll be able to find the podcast on your car system instead of plugging your phone into it. So as it becomes easier and easier, there are more and more people. And our numbers show that too. We're up 174% over last year at this time as a network. This show's up 25% over last year at this time. This month is our biggest month. If I take out Heartland, if I take out that episode, this will be our biggest month. And I kind of have to take that out because that was the exception. But this is our biggest month already, and we have a couple days left.
if those of you don't know, we interviewed Amy from Heartland, and it's amazing.
And we tripled our audience that day. There were almost 60,000 people listened that day.
Yep.
So it was crazy.
Now, I did find a new podcast for those that are a little bit more adult, and it's called My Dad Wrote a Porno, and it's hilarious. So if you guys haven't listened to that and you don't mind a little cuss word every now and then, it's hilarious.
I know we don't need to know more.
it's like his dad wrote it and it's terrible. And he reads it on the air, a chapter every episode. And it's hilarious. And they're British, which makes it even funnier.
I also want to congratulate Liz, who is Covart, who's been on our show before. She won in the history category for Ben Franklin's World and up against some serious NPR programming there. And also Joe Solsehi, who is Stacking Benjamin's podcast. He was on one of our special episodes we did here in Horses in the Morning, and he won the best financial show, and he was up against some of the biggest podcasts out there, and he won for that. So those are two people that have actually been on Horses in the Morning in the past. I also got to meet my geek out moment, Jamie. I've talked about the Bob and Sherry show on here. It's what this show was designed after. When I went out looking for a host and found Jamie, I wanted to find a Sherry. And so they are the ones that really were the inspiration behind this. I've told them that. I was interviewed on their show because I told them that. Well, I met her and her business manager, and I got to actually sat in a whole session with Sherry, got to spend some time talking to her. My total geek out moment, by the way. Very, very smart business lady. She is super smart. I saw her speak on a panel and she stood out. And then I also got to spend some time talking to her business manager or partner, and he was a trip and a lot of fun too. So it was fun to talk to both of them. I got to see Debbie's house, Debbie Laux's house, host of Horsemanship Radio. You've been to her house yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. This house sits up on a hill and looks all over pretty much all of Los Angeles Valley. It is the coolest house because it is, it's in a neighborhood of very tight houses, but it's so California. It has the big, it's very modern. It's not what you would expect, actually, with Debbie. It's very modern. It has the big doors, huge 10, 20-foot doors that open to the outside, and you can leave it open to the patio overlooking the view of a overlooking a hazy view of which I never saw anything but haze. but it is the coolest house. It is really neat. Debbie, I loved your house. And then Saturday came after the conference, and I know you all saw pictures of this, but let me tell you what. I laughed on Saturday harder than I've laughed in 20 years. I got to spend, it was three lesbians and a cowboy. A couple of friends who do podcasts, they're all lesbians. Diane is one of them, the New Yorker that's been on our show before. Mm-hmm. She was here with a very Brooklyn accent. Well, she was along. She's a riot. And then a couple of other ladies who are from down in the Keys. And we had the best time on Saturday. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. We determined we should do a show called Three Lesbians and a Cowboy. It was hilarious. We went to Warner Brothers Studio and did the studio tour. And I know you're not going to be impressed by this, but we got to see the Big Bang set. And by the way, there is no laugh track. There is actually an audience. And they made it clear there's no laugh track. It's an audience.
That is the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard.
No, there is an audience. And we sat where
they sit. It
might
be real audience laughter that they play.
No,
nobody laughs that hysterically every 5 seconds. Sorry,
yes,
you brought
they do.
It up.
We laugh every hysterically every 5 seconds when we're watching it. But
you
it was,
do not go.
It was interesting to see the set. And by the way, to film a half an hour show like Big Bang, it takes 6 hours. There are 200
people laugh 400 times every time they repeat a joke.
There are 400 people, or there are 200 staff on that tiny little set while the show is recording.
That's what's amazing about Hollywood is that just the jobs it gives people. Oh my gosh, just the jobs.
I don't know what the 200 people do, but they have two continuity people, you know, because they have to redo set, you know, scenes. They have to make sure it's exactly the same and everything's in the right place. It was amazing. The Warner Brothers Studio Tour, I recommend that to anybody. We got to see some of the coolest stuff there. And I recommend going on a weekend because they'll actually take you into where they're filming shows that are happening right now because they're not usually. Ellen is filmed there. So, you know, everything's about Ellen there because she's their most popular thing they got going. So that was kind of cool that we got to see that. And then we went up to Ronald Reagan Library, which was very neat. And I do have some pictures I'll post on the Horses in the Morning page today of all of his horse stuff that was displayed, his saddles and his buckles. And, you know, they had a whole section just for his horse stuff. I highly recommend that library. First of all, it's beautiful. It sits up on top of a mountain and you can see forever, and then you can see the mountains off in the distance. It was just really neat.
That's awesome.
Really, really cool.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
It
Fantastic.
Was a fun trip. Got to hang out with a lot of old friends. And hi to Jemmy, who I know is listening right now. So I saw you post pictures of getting hurt. What happened?
Annual...
I know you talked about it, but I didn't catch up.
My annual injury that I have every year. It's like one
this
massive
was not
injury.
Minor. You had bruises the size of pie plates.
Had is the wrong word because it's have. Because as a bruise transforms, it gets bigger and darker and deeper before it goes away. And it is now officially 1 week out from the injury. And it is my side. I've never seen anything like this. Like just when you get nice and like comfortable putting on a pair of pants, like, and then you have like a muffin, you have a muffin top hang over the side. My left side is so swollen that my muffin top is like three times as big. It's really unattractive.
Sexy.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I told Chad, I'm like, I just don't look at me. I'm hideous. Like, it's gross. So my face, fortunately, my beautiful face stayed intact. But
good,
basically
what
happened is,
that.
You know, baby Zara's been weaned and she's been weaned, but she has to learn.
Oh, this was baby Zara that did it.
Yes! That's the crazy part. It's like the tiniest, sweetest
little baby. I thought
it was
a pony, precious magic something.
No. Everybody accused her wrongfully. Because I basically go over there and I got her a new dually halter. So I put the halter on her and she's been doing great about leading. And now I can, because of the dually, I can get her to stand ground tied and I can bathe her And because it's so hot here, I go over every night and give her a bath. So I went to go give her a bath, and I got there and I was like, you need to work on your leading a little bit. So we were working on leading. And the way that this house is there's a wall behind it, and the wall drops down to their backyard, which is because she's four houses down. But the ball drops down to their pool, and they have a ton of dogs, and I have a ton of dogs. Well, the dogs are jumping in the pool, and I had baby Zara was like just in front of me a little bit. And I was kind of off to her left shoulder, and we're just standing there. And the four dogs come out of the pool and leap out of the pool and over the fence. And it just scares the bejesus out of her. And so she actually, instead of running away or turning and facing, she, I think what she was going for was the "mommy, carry me" kind of thing. And she like ran into me and hit me really hard and knocked me down. But you know, when a horse runs into you, they kind of run into you and then they feel something and then they go around you. No. She hit me, ran into me. I went like from vertical, bam, on my left side, which is the bruising that you saw. And then she proceeded to run on top of me.
Ugh.
And I cannot believe that she didn't knock my head or anything like that. So I have a hoof mark on my right side and my left inner thigh. I have a hoof
print. Yeah, that
one looked
pretty nasty.
A hoof print on my back, and then the left side is all bruised up. And so it was great because I went to Oklahoma and I had no horses to deal with at all. So I was able to just leave them there and kind of deal with it, but take a couple of days off. But yeah, it's unbelievably painful. It feels like I got in a car accident. So that's the bruising that I have. If you go to the auditor's page, you can see the updated
pictures. What'd you do at that moment?
Laying on the ground, I thought, okay, my phone is 25 feet away in the gator, and I'm laying on the ground, and there's nobody home, which is why I was over that night, because I had to feed, because nobody was home, and at their house, the people that live there, and I'm like, how am I going to call 911 and Chad when my phone's that far away, I can't move? And then she got away, of course, and then she came running back.
She did?
And yeah, so there's not really far for her to go. It's like a barn aisle, right. You know? And so she's, oh God, she's coming back.
Jeez.
So guess what I did? I got all the way. I jumped up. So I got up and was able to catch her. And actually, because my adrenaline was so high, I was like, we're going to take some time to learn about body space. Okay. And so I actually worked on leading a little bit, and then I went home. And at this point, my knees are so lacerated that there's blood from my knees all the way down pooling in my socks.
Oh,
so
God.
I drive the gator home and I had to close the gate. I was like a disaster. But my face is fine. So I'm driving home and I pull in the back. Well, this thing is I'm sitting there and I'm in the gator and I pull right up and Chad's out back and he's unloading. Hey, and he's like, says something. I go, hey, babe, don't freak out. And he's like, huh? What? And I go, yeah, I promise you won't freak out. He's like, okay, I won't freak out. And I stood up and he's like, oh my God. I'm like, you said you wouldn't freak out. So he gets me to the house and I'm still incredibly sore. There is not a chance I could possibly ride a horse with my inner thighs, my hips as sore as they are. So
you were lucky.
Yeah, so that's what happened. I got really lucky.
I mean, you were lucky you look like that, but you were lucky that you didn't have some permanent damage. And there's that moment. You've said it so well. You're a great storyteller, but you said it so well when you're lying there after an accident. I fell off a roof once and you're lying there. Or you get ditched by a horse and you're lying there and you're going, okay, do I really want to inventory my parts right now?
Yeah.
Because I'm convinced that it's not going to be good. And doesn't your mind take a couple of seconds to think about whether you're going to inventory your parts?
Oh, you absolutely. I have to like any horse chick that's fallen off a horse a million times. You lay, when you hit the ground, you're like, okay, can I move my toes? Check.
Check.
Can I move my fingers? Check. My head, can I turn my head? Yep, I'm good. Oh, okay, I'm fine.
Or in Jennifer's case, ooh, that is a bone sticking out. So
yeah, no, I knew I've broken bones before. And there's that special feeling that you get when you have a broken bone. And I knew I didn't have a broken bone. And so I knew I was okay. I was like, okay, there's just, but the massive pain in the knee, I was like, oh, I'm going to need stitches. It's gross. Terrible. Anyway, so I'm okay. Okay. Lucas, when he falls down, he'll go, "I'm okay." And he'll give a thumbs up. Doesn't matter if he's bleeding profusely. That was me. I was like, "I'm okay. Did anybody see that?" Nobody saw that. Dang it. Nobody saw that. Somebody said, "Did you get it on video?" And I'm like, "I was alone.
Well, I was laying on the ground."
And it was amazing. And I realized too,
and it happened
that
so fast. That's the other thing. They happen so fast.
Well, the other thing is, you know, I don't have an excuse because she's just recently weaned, and it's not like I've been able to really train her. It was a serious freak accident. I shouldn't have been by myself, but it made me realize that I've also given that mare, little filly, a lot of gray area. You know, training horses is black and white with me. It's black or white. It's positive. It's reward or release, you know, and she doesn't have black and white because I brought her into this world, and I was the first person to touch her, and I love her so much. Not anymore. Nope.
Down to work.
New world. The Ice King has cometh.
Off to winter work, child. Here. You're putting you to work. You're 16. It's time to go to work.
Winter has come.
No more freeloading for you.
Nope. You're going to have manners. Yeah, so all better anyway. But we did get to spend some time in Oklahoma looking at house plans because things kind of changed that. But we had planned, Glenn, next year, you know, we're going to start building the barn and the arena and get the fencing done. Well, it turns out that in Oklahoma, you can't do that. You have to build your house first. Or to make a long story short, if you build your horse facilities before your house, it becomes a ranch property, which then they can revisit your interest rate every 5 years.
I was just
going
to say, you can do that first if you have the money to pay cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know it's not even cash. Like, they won't give you a mortgage. We could pay for the barn and everything like that. We need a loan, but if we had to, we could figure it out. But it's not even the loan. It's the, you can't have the horse facilities in place before you have the house in place. Otherwise, your construction loan won't turn into a mortgage. It turns into a ranch property loan. It makes my brain hurt to think about it. But basically, if we put the horse stuff first, every 5 years, the bank goes, we're going to have to up your interest rate. It just doesn't, it's whatever, you know, whatever is going on in the world today, you know? So basically we have to build our house first. And because it's going to take a year, we have to build our house now.
That's, and we're gonna, this has got to be killing you.
Oh my gosh. So that's why we're like,
because
we're
you're
just
looking
eat.
At this thing. I know what you never told me this, but I told Jennifer last night, I said, this is what she was planning to do. She was planning to build the barn and then get a camper. And she was planning on living in the camper for about 2 years until she built the house, because she doesn't really give a crap about the house. She really wanted the barn. Am I close?
I didn't tell you that?
No.
You just guessed that?
Yeah. Well, I know you well enough now for 8 years.
Yeah. I'm going to get a camper and we're going to live on a weather building the house. And that'd be around the horses. No problem. No big deal. Chad was not as into that idea, but whatever.
I knew
you
that
go
was
to work.
The idea. I knew I'm that you home. And Stephanie were our listener Stephanie has an Airstream she's redoing, and I know you were talking
I was
to her going.
Her. Like, if Stephanie can do it, I can do it. Live in an Airstream with a couple kids, you know, because we'll have our adoption done by then. But anyway, whatever, it'll be fine. So yeah, that was the plan. But the plan is not that anymore. So frantically now I have to design our home. We had already done the house plans because we bought a piece of property that's empty. Okay. There's nothing on this property because we just couldn't find for our budget what we wanted. So we're like, well, we'll just have to build it. So it's going to take a long time, but we found this beautiful piece of land and, it's almost 12 acres and we've figured out where the house is going to go. The only thing we've actually built is a driveway. Well, it's a good dang thing we did because now we got to start the house. So then we had to meet with the house guy and we met with him. It was like, I have 2 hours on Tuesday. Crap. Well, I guess we better go to Oklahoma and meet with him. And fortunately, when your husband's an airline pilot, you can just hop a plane and go. So we hopped a plane and went. And so Lucas hung out with his cousins while we met with the builder. And so yeah, it's just, this is going to kill me, Glenn. It's going to kill me.
It's going to kill me because the house is going to be sitting there empty and you're not going to be in it.
That's fine. I don't care.
No, but I mean, even if you do move, there won't be a barn. I mean, it's like,
I know. Well,
it's all backwards.
The barn and arena is only going to take about 6 weeks. Oh, okay. So once we get the house done, that's fine. But, you know, I've already got, we'll do the fencing and run in sheds and all that when we move there. I don't know when we're going to move. This adoption thing is throwing a wrench into everything, which is fine. But the problem is, he's like, okay, we've got 10 pages of house plans. All right, here we go. Let's start with the front door. What kind of front door do you want?
What kind of tile do you want? What kind of paint do you want? What kind of this do you want? What kind of toilets do you want?
Like, there's different kinds of front
doorknob and hinges, please.
Yes. Right? That's what I think.
Really?
And apparently there's, well, you don't want a steel door because it would be scratched. But however, there's this kind of door and this kind of door and this kind of door. And do you want the transoms around the door? And do you want the windows around the sides or the top and all this? Blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, go, okay, we're going to go inside. All right. Here's your office. What kind of doors do you want on your office? I'm like, son of a bitch, the doors again. I'm like, you know what? I want sliding barn doors. I want this a ranch. I want sliding barn doors. He's like, I'm like, listen, you asked me. Just tell me if you know something I don't know.
Please tell me you had one of those old fashioned barn or bar doors, the half doors put into the kitchen.
I haven't had anything done because I was working on outlet placing. Where do you want an outlet? Visualize yourself in your kitchen. You want to plug in your blender. Where do you want the outlet? I'm like, oh my God, this can't be standard.
Did you tell him that you don't spend much time in the kitchen? Did you admit that?
You know what? Kitchen's a wash. You do whatever you need to do.
Put the outlets wherever. I'm not going to use them.
He's like, well, we have to get this quote. So we have to pick out all the appliances. Everything's going to be the quote. So I'm like, I have to pick out appliances for a house that I've never seen that's not built. He's like, yeah. Like, this sucks.
You were great at the barn. You knew exactly where the outlets were going in the barn.
I've got everything sorted out in the barn. I'm like, okay, we need 4 inches of concrete deep over here. And then we're going to do this. And this is the footing I want. And this is where I want the hose bib required. And then we're going to put the Nelson Waters in
the
back.
Are you and Chad getting along, by the way? Because they say that building a house causes more divorces than anything else.
Oh, it's hilarious. He's like, it was like 10 minutes in. He's like, he leans over and he goes, you've checked out, haven't you? You're done. I was like, I'm back. Okay, hold on. I just need coffee. My sister-in-law is like, oh my God, this is so exciting. We get to pick out all that stuff. And I'm like, you do it. Go ahead.
We went furniture shopping. Our couch was about 80 years old, and we were pretty much just sitting on the floor, and we moved it 10 times, and it just needed replaced, but we hate furniture shopping. So we went into the furniture store, and I said to Jennifer, oh, God, look at all these choices, and there's couches, and there's all this crap, and blah, blah, blah. So we went, okay, we'll solve the problem. We'll just get 4 recliners. So that's what we did. We just bought 4 recliners.
Are you serious?
Yes. We figured we only ever have 2 guests at a time, and then all of us are going to have recliners. So that's what we did. We bought 4 recliners, walked out. We were done in 10 minutes.
So you don't like sitting next to each other watching TV?
We
that's
got
cool.
a double you recliner. Together, work together. We got a double recliner for us. And the rest of you could sit wherever.
And nice. I love it. Good job.
All right, let's do this. Let's hear from Dr. Roses. And then how about a little Beaches of Cheyenne, in honor of Texas and our friend Dan Roberts down there. And then we'll come back and we're going to have chapter 5 of the book.
Just so you know, hold on. Cheyenne is in Wyoming.
No,
so
but Dan lives in Texas, I think.
What?
Dan lives in Texas, I think.
I just wanted to clarify. I didn't want people to think you were weird.
No. Dan lives in Texas. No.
Okay.
All right. I knew that. I've never been there. I've never been to Cheyenne, but I'd like to go someday. It's on the list. So let's hear from Dr. Roses. Jamie's going to get her voice ready.
We're going to play a song about Cheyenne.
That's right. Done by a Texan.
If he's from Texas.
Yeah. Don't warm up your voice. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at the Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tax store or feed supplier, or visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. That's drrosesremedies.com.
Packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. And by the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Just her diary by the bed. They told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
And that was Dan Roberts, who of course is from Texas, doing a song about Cheyenne. And you can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. See, thank you, Dan.
This is where, when you first hired me, you could have said that and I'd let you get away with it.
That's true.
Just you like at the beginning, I would have sung a song.
You don't do it anymore.
Sometimes now I can't let you.
Sometimes my words don't always come out in the order I want them to come out. So okay. we started 5 weeks ago doing a book reading for you all, and we're going to continue that right now with chapter 5. And as always, we're basically going to say goodbye to you now, and the book's going to finish out the show. I did want to mention that tomorrow we have the Horse Husbands episode for you. We have another good one where we're answering questions from the ladies. And ladies, we were very flattered that your questions assumed that we knew things that were manly, like hunting and fishing and camping, but I don't know that you're going to get much help on that tomorrow, to be honest, but it was fun nonetheless. So tune in tomorrow morning for the Horse Husbands episode. And we also have we have to do really bad ads. How did that go last week? You and Wendy have fun with really bad ads last week?
Yes, you've been replaced.
She's just fun. I think you probably, I probably have. And I think that Jennifer...
And that, that girl cannot do a Southern accent.
She's Asian.
I mean, not as good as I am.
She can't do it too well. So now, Jennifer did mention, didn't you, Jennifer, mention to me the other day that our special Gemma has submitted one? Jennifer?
One what?
A really bad ad, of audio really bad
Oh,
ad.
Yes, I got two or three audio ads this week, so keep them coming, people.
All right, but Gemma was one of them, and we all love Gemma, and we all love when she does them, so that we can look forward to that on Friday. And then the prize this month, I can't even remember anymore, is a box, a really big box of crap from my closet because I went to Ada. So that's what the prize was this month. And we have some new prizes for you next month that are already lined up, and I think you're going to like. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Now get out your parade costumes and head out to a class near you. And now...
Good. There's one out my window now. I got to go.
And here we go.
All right.
The Opium Equation is the first of the Kat Enright mystery series written by Lisa Wysocki. It features Kat Enright, a Tennessee Appaloosa horse trainer, Darcy Whitcomb, teenager with a trust fund, Bubba Henley, a budding juvenile delinquent, and John Gardner, a mysterious barn manager. And of course, there's Sally Blue. Thank you to the publisher Cool Titles for allowing us to read this book. If you want to read ahead, all four books in the series are available in stores and online everywhere, or at lisawysocki.com.
Chapter 5. After a quick lunch, I took a long time to think about my disastrous morning. To be honest, I've never dealt well with the disasters. Add confrontations and arguments to that list. My grandma always claimed the Irish way to avoid problems. The Irish way was to avoid problems, so I come by my aversion honestly. At least the furnace still worked and the house didn't smell too bad. Well, okay, I'm lying to myself. The house still smelled like pig doo-doo after it had baked a while in the sun. Maybe by nightfall, the odor would be gone. Thinking tends to tire me out, though, so I grabbed a cat nap and woke suddenly after about an hour with the perfect plan to deal with Glenda. Pulling from my purse a crumpled business card with a hand-drawn map on the back, I ran a wide-tooth comb through my tangled mop of mouse-brown curls and started up the truck and headed for Music Row. It was an easy 25-minute drive with little traffic along the way. I took the Demon Brune exit off of I-40, drove past the row of buildings that now house several of Nashville's most popular places to eat, drink, and be merry, navigated the new circular roundabout with the controversial nude sculpture, and finally hooked a left on 18th Avenue South. Reading the map on the back of the card, I found the house a few blocks down, but had to drive past and double back in the alley behind it to find parking. That was okay because Adam's office was located in the back of the house, second floor, accessed by a set of rickety black metal stairs. Under the stairs, three yellow daffodils were bravely blooming through the bleak winter sun. Some years, there were scores of early spring flowers tucked away in corners throughout Middle Tennessee. These were the first I'd seen this year. I sat in my truck for a few minutes before I got up the nerve to knock on Adam's office door. It was silly, really, because I hardly knew the man. On the other hand, I thought my feelings were justified because what I knew, I didn't like. Adam had moved here from California last summer, and I'd run into him at a few neighborhood parties. There was something about him. Too much ego, too much cool, but he did say if I ever needed anything, he'd be glad to help. So here I was. I climbed the stairs to a small porch and knocked on an imposing metal door. I heard a few scuffled movements inside, and then the door cracked open. "Why, Kat," he said, "how wonderful to see you. Please, please come in." Adam's office was quite upscale for someone who had just embarked upon a songwriting career. Although it consisted of a single room about the size of an average living room, Adam's aunt had the room done as a welcome to Nashville gift for her only nephew. Thick black carpeting sank under the weight of my feet. Would look like an awful lot like polished oak paneling, and probably was, lined the walls, while a heavy beveled glass coffee table sat in the corner. It was surrounded by plush black leather couch and matching chairs. Next to the door was a brass coat rack, combination refrigerator and microwave, and a black four-drawer filing cabinet. Straight ahead was a modern black desk with a laptop and one of those nifty machines that phones, faxes, prints, and would probably do your laundry if you knew how to program it. To my right was an impressive-looking stereo TV DVD unit with speakers spread throughout the room. Most songwriters would have given anything to have a room like this. "Excuse my attire," Adam said, indicating his disordered clothes. His starched jeans were rumpled and spattered with mud, his long-sleeved t-shirt partially untucked, and his spit-and-polish loafers scuffed and streaked with dirt. I pulled over on I-40 just by the 440 split to check a tire I thought was low, and a semi came by and splattered me with road sludge. The must clothing did nothing to diminish Adam's rugged good looks. His dark blonde locks were attractively disheveled, and his 6'1" body, if a bit on the thin side, was well proportioned, and his face reminded me of a young Robert Redford. He invited me to sit on the leather couch, which I did. "I hope I'm not interrupting anything," I said. "I can come back another time if this isn't convenient. On second thought, though, maybe I'd better do that. It was rude of me to stop by without calling first." Being around Adam always made me babble. I couldn't figure out if it was his money, his good looks, or his infamous family tree, but I just couldn't relax around him. "Oh, no, please stay, Kat. I'm glad you finally come to visit," said Adam. Then his nose twitched. "Do you smell something?" I flushed beet red. Hank's mutant urine vapors must have attached themselves to my clothes and hair. Can I just die of embarrassment right here and now? No, I don't smell a thing. I began twitching my own nose in an exaggerated manner, followed by equally exaggerated shrugging, as if to prove any odd smell must be his imagination. Probably I should have showered before I headed over there, but I was so determined to find a solution to the Glenda situation that when one presented itself after my nap, I dived right in without thinking. Fact is, not thinking tends to be a habit of mine. Adam gave one final uncertain sniff, then said, "You know, I said to my aunt just the other day, I need to call Kat. It's been weeks since I've seen her. And here you are." "Well, Adam, that's why I'm here." He laughed, but the light had gone out of his eyes. "I see. You're here because my aunt sent you." "Oh, no," I protested. "I'm here. Well, let me just dive in on this. There was a nasty scene at the barn this morning. I'm not sure what to do about it, so I came to you because the source of the trouble was your Aunt Glenda." Adam Dupree rubbed a weary hand over his face and paced the small room as I nervously explained what happened. "I don't care if she goes to Hill. I couldn't work with her anyway under the circumstances," I concluded, "but I also don't want her to spread false rumors about me, my horses, my clients, or my stable. I just want her to go away and leave me alone. No hard feelings." "I'm sorry she embarrassed you," he said, sitting on the arm of one of the matching chairs. "But if you want her to keep the rumor mill from rumbling, you have to make Aunt Glenda think it's in her best interest to keep quiet." "I'd love to, but how do I do that?" "For it to work, you need to march right over there and confront her just as she did you. Firmness is one of the few things she respects, but you'll have to grovel a little too. Tell her you admire the courage it took her for her to make such a decision and that you realize you are not worthy of her time. Wish her well, but you've got to play it just right. End it by making her think it was her idea to leave you alone." I took in his words of encouragement, but his expression left me dubious about any success for my mission. "You mean just go over to Fairbanks and ring the doorbell and barge in?" Glenda was notorious both for her privacy and her formality. One didn't just barge in on the diva. Adam stared at me without saying anything. Then he raised one eyebrow. At least his nose was no longer twitching. "I guess you're right," I sighed, "but I'm just not good at that sort of thing, confrontations and all." "All you have to do," he told me, "is look her straight in the eye. Don't waver. Don't back off. She abhors people who are weak. Stand up to her. She won't give you an inch, but she'll listen." It was a task much easier said than done.